Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. You can make long-term profits or short-term cash in real estate. And today, we're going to talk about how you can quickly create the capital you need to fund your lifestyle and real estate purchases. We'll talk about something we don't often discuss here, and that's flipping properties for big profits. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. The Real Estate Guys are throwing a party and you're invited. Join us at the New Orleans Investment Conference, October 14th through 17th. Now in its 46th year, it's the nation's longest running investment conference and features some of the biggest names in economics and investing, including Jim Rickards, Danielle DiMartino Booth, Rick Rule, Doug Casey, Peter Schiff, and Robert Kiyosaki. And for the first time, the conference will be presented live virtually, so you'll save the travel expenses. The Real Estate Guys are speaking again this year, and we're hosting a virtual hospitality suite one of the evenings with some very special guests. So make plans to join the Real Estate Guys at the New Orleans Virtual Investment Conference. With everything going on in the world, no serious investor can afford to miss it. Send an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com, and we'll get you all the details. That's neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, it is our financial strategist and co-host, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, there's so many ways to make money in real estate, and we love all of them. Today, we're going to talk about kind of a short-term way to make money in real estate. You know, we've been talking in past weeks about markets, places that make sense, affordability, how to get started on not a lot of money, leverage, using financial partners and banks and folks to help. And today we're going to talk about kind of the duration of your investment. Some people buy a property and they just want to keep it forever. They want the tenant to pay off the mortgage and it's just going to be throwing off cash for the rest of their lives, and that can work. But there's also great opportunities to make money short term. And today we're going to tackle a topic that we don't talk about that often, and that is the huge and amazing world of flipping real estate.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, but anytime you go through any form of crisis in business or investing, one of the important questions that you always need to know is the shortest path to cash, right? I tell people all the time, you always have to know the shortest path to cash. And in real estate, flipping a property, buying a property, and maybe wholesaling it, or actually, you know, taking ownership, fixing it up and flipping it, however you choose to do it. But short-term ownership, where you are able to generate cash quickly while you're out there looking for the properties that are going to be suitable to hold, or you use flipping as a down payment machine. You flip a couple of properties, buy one to keep, flip a couple of properties, buy one to keep, and pretty soon you build up. So you can both generate cash as a job, if you will, overseeing these projects and flipping these houses. At the same time, you're building up a portfolio of passive income. But the key is you have to have a short path to cash. Now, we always talk about syndication as being a great way to have a short path to cash, but it's not the only way. And so kind of in the interest of fairness, we thought, hey, let's give this topic some coverage, because we're going into a time where I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people to flip, and maybe perhaps a lot of need for them to be able to generate cash quickly.
My guess is you've probably seen one of those TV shows. You know the show, the flip that house or this house or whatever house, and folks buy a house, it needs work, they go through, they budget it, they fix it up, there's all kinds of drama and spooky music, and then at the end, either they made money or they lost money. And that kind of is representative of flipping, but that's not all flipping. You know, you think of, I'm buying a property and I'm selling it right away, that's the flip. I'm not keeping it, I flip it to someone else. But there's lots more strategy. You know, you mentioned wholesaling. Sometimes you get good at finding properties, and rather than do all the work and take it to fruition, you decide to get out of the way and let somebody else take it over. That's a way to do it. In our book, Equity Happens, we talk about a flip to hold strategy. That sounds interesting. What does that mean? Well, that means that you're flipping the financing but keeping the property. You buy a property that needs some work, or it's in kind of the buy the line neighborhood, or whatever the case is, and you acquire it either with cash or maybe a hard money loan or a bridge funding of some kind. And then once it's beautiful and wrapped up with a bow and tenanted, you refinance it. So there's lots of ways to do this. I think the big picture, though, is that you mentioned the time that we're in, and when we see markets change, there are certain opportunities that are no longer on the table, right? If I'm just a buy and hold investor who's been speculating on prices increasing, and I've done pretty well in the last few years, a lot of reasons to think that might not continue, with evictions at an all-time high and with not everybody employed and able to make their rent or their mortgage payment. And so it might not be the best time to, say, buy and hold a long-term rental house. But the great thing about flipping is you're in and out pretty quick, and you can make money kind of no matter what the market does if you do it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, go back to this concept of short path to cash. If you want to be able to create chunks of cash to put out fires, to acquire passive streams of income, to live on while you're turning over rocks looking for that next great buy and hold property. I mean, there's lots of reasons to want to know how to do this. If you're an active hands-on real estate investor and you're out there in the market, you're going to see these opportunities because they exist. And you can decide that, hey, I want to do it and do it myself and keep the profit. Or you may decide you want to flip it through the kind of the wholesaling type activity to someone who is actually going to do the work. But the point is you're going to be turning over opportunities. You're going to see opportunities. There's a chance to put some money in your pocket. And again, we're going into a season where there's probably going to be some distress out there. There's going to be people that can't hold on to properties. And before they can't hold on to them, they can't maintain them, which means there's a lot of upside for someone who can come in and find a property that has been not well maintained and bring it back up to standard. And that's a very valuable service. So these people aren't just opportunistic vultures. These are folks we call the white corpuscles. They're the ones that go into a distressed area, whether it's economic distress, local or macroeconomic. And I think we got both of that going on right now, or even just individual distress where an owner has a problem. But they find these properties that need attention and they bring capital and effort to bear and they fix it up and put it back in service. It's good for the community and it's good for them and they make money for providing that service. So it's a lot different than just speculating, hey, I'm going to buy a property in a hot market. I'm going to control it. I'm going to wait till the market does whatever the market does and then I'm going to flip out of it. You know, we saw a lot of people trying to play that game when the real estate market gets really hot, like in Miami condos. That's kind of the poster child for people playing this game. And they tie these properties up. They have no ability to close, but they think they can flip it or sign the contract to someone else on the other end. You know, that's a dangerous game to play because you're betting on the value coming from something you have zero control over. You know, and maybe in the tail end of a hot market like we're in right now, maybe there's some of that opportunity out there. I mean, I'm not the expert. We're going to talk to one in a moment. But for me, if you have control over forcing that equity or you have the ability to recognize value quickly and get it in the hands of somebody who can extract that value, those two are both very valid ways to make money quickly in real estate.
Now, we've already exhausted our deep and vast knowledge of flipping. I think Russ and I have in common that we both flipped exactly one house. You know, I made $100,000 in about 90 days. So that part was good. But the rest of it, managing teams and trying to be strategic and figuring out, you know, the path of progress and all that stuff, I found was a lot of work. But again, you can get paid really well. So since we don't know a ton about flipping, we have a guest today who does. We come back, you're going to meet our friend Mike Simmons. And we're going to talk about flipping real estate for big profits on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Hear ye, hear ye. Registration is now open for the Real Estate Guys 19th Annual Investor Summit. Imagine spending an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Returning this year, our sales legend Tom Hopkins, the editor of the Gold Newsletter Brian London, international real estate developer Beth Clifford, and Jim Rohn's 18-year business partner Kyle Wilson. And joining us live and in person for his 9th Investor Summit, Peter Schiff. Plus, returning for his 9th Investor Summit, best-selling author and the Rich Dad Advisor for Real Estate, Ken McElroy. Plus, lots more to be announced. It all begins June 11th in beautiful Belize. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to reserve your spot. This transformational week is like no conference you've ever attended. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys, Peter Schiff, Ken McElroy, and an all-star faculty on the 19th Annual Investor Summit.
Hi, this is Kim Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Woman, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. However you do that, whether it's on the radio, the podcast, or you're overhearing your neighbor, we're glad you're here. We're talking today about short-term investing, the idea of flipping a property. And because Russ and I haven't done a lot of that, but we recognize there's expertise involved, we'd like to say hello to our new friend, Mike Simmons. This is what he does and has for some time. Mike, welcome to the Real Estate Guys.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here and excited to talk about it. I heard you guys talking about flipping houses, and you made me really excited for what I do. So thank you. Made me feel good about it.
Well, this is something you've done for a while and kind of some big numbers, so we don't want to blow everyone's mind, but take us back to kind of the beginning, how you got into the house flipping business.
Yeah, sure. So I'm born and raised in Michigan, so I'm a Midwest kid. My family was automotive, blue collar, union mentality. The goal for me growing up from my father's point of view was get into a union and work for 35, 40 years, keep your head down, work all the overtime you can, squirrel away money and retire. And hopefully you have a little bit of time left before you die. Like he meant well, and that's what he wanted for me. And I had no entrepreneurs in my life, nobody who was suggesting there was any other path other than just get a great job. And I did. I was able to get a really good job out of high school. I worked for UPS, great company, nothing wrong with UPS. It's a fantastic job. Problem is I hurt myself early on. And so at age of 24, I need to go to the chiropractor three times a week just to get out of bed. Like I was a 24-year-old man and I could not get out of bed without help of a chiropractor three times a week. So I realized, okay, listen, I'm not a total dummy. I can't do this the rest of my life. I will be physically unable to do it. So I got a job in the automotive industry, right? Parents couldn't be happier. It's Michigan. It's automotive. Like, yay, go automotive. Got a job, started working. And this is now I'm going to date myself a little bit, but this was back in just before 2000. So everyone knows around 2000, there was a dot-com bubble that burst. Well, there was also an automotive bubble that sort of burst and people were getting laid off by the thousands where I live. And, you know, if there's one thing I learned as a kid, it's self-criticism and to be really honest and fair with what my drawbacks are and some of my downfalls. And one of them was I didn't have an education and I had a little bit of experience. And I had to admit, if I lost my job that day and I was the person who was hiring, I don't think I would hire me. And if I wouldn't even hire myself, how could I expect an employer to hire me? So I said, yeah, I got to go back to school. Like, that's all I know. Like, I needed my college education. I didn't get it when I was right out of high school. I need to go back. And I did. I went back as an adult. I had kids. I had a wife. I had a mortgage. I had a full-time job. Went back and got my degree. I immediately doubled my income, started working more in a white collar track than I was in the past. In the past, I was kind of like blue collar. And I thought, this is it. I've figured this out. I figured out life, right? Automotive industry was strong. Everything was great. But what I did notice as I'm kind of trying to claw and scrape up this corporate ladder is the people whose jobs that I coveted, the people that I was trying to eventually get their position, director of this, you know, manager of that. What I noticed was man or woman didn't matter. They really weren't happy. They really hated their life. You could tell they were miserable. They never had anything good to say about their wives or their husbands, about their kids, about anything. They were miserable. They were slaves to the job. And I thought, my goodness, this is what I'm trying to get to where they are. Like, they're miserable. They're way more unhappy than I could ever be, I think. And I said, you know what? I really need to figure out how I can get out of this rat race. And at the very least, retire earlier, like just somehow escape this before 30 years. And so I started Googling retirement, investing for retirement, retirement vehicles, how to retire early, and stocks in the stock market was all I could think of. So I started diving into that world. Like, how do I invest in the stock market? That's going to be, you know, I'm Warren Buffett. That's going to be my way out. And to make a very long story super short, I just hated it. I just didn't like it. I couldn't. It was like someone was asking me to read insurance manuals, and no offense to insurance folks, but I just couldn't. I couldn't get excited about it. Every time I tried, I would get derailed and I would be looking at something else. But if you Google investing and you go down enough, you know, scroll far enough, you do get to real estate. And I hit real estate as an investment option. And I just fell in love. And I did what probably most people do when they discover real estate investing is they start reading success stories. And let me kind of live vicariously. I spent that, you know, that time, that sort of obligatory time where you live vicariously through other people's adventures. And I was like, this is so great. And then I started educating myself. And I'm a big fan of educating yourself in anything you want to do. But what I really did was, and a lot of people get caught into this trap, I got a little paralyzed by the amount of education that I was doing. And I was, you know, in the information age, the good news is there's information about anything. The bad news is there's information about anything. So no matter what you read or what you go to, going to seminars, going to meetups, reading books, watching things on, you know, webinars, everybody says that the way they're doing it is just the way to do it. Like, this is the way to go. And I started getting shiny object meets paralysis analysis meets self-doubt. And it just, I just sort of spiraled that way for a number of years. I mean, it's embarrassing to admit it, but I spent about 5 years thinking that I was educating myself and being really diligent and being responsible. But in fact, all I was doing was burying myself in too much information. I was allowing the what ifs. What if I screw up? What if I look stupid? What will my parents think? What will my friends think? What will my wife think? You know, what will happen to me? And I allowed myself to wallow in that. But here's the good news. Being raised by a Marine who was an automotive guy, hard nose, like I realized that it was fear. And fear was keeping me from doing what I knew I really wanted to do. And I kind of hit a low where I was kind of disgusted with myself. And I went out there and I made the first offer on the first house, made a lot of mistakes, and I got that deal done. And it was, you know, the best way I can describe doing my first deal and getting involved in real estate was literally it felt like I had been underwater for a long time. And I finally came up and got a breath of like actual clean, fresh air. And that was what it was like because I was insatiable from that point forward. All of the self-doubt and the procrastination and all the second guessing was gone. And I was really like a man possessed. So that's how I gotten started.
Well, that is an amazing story. And thanks for your candor in that, because there are so many people who think that because they're listening to podcasts and going to seminars and reading books that somehow they're advancing.
Yeah.
And yet they're not. Not if they don't do something. Our motto at the Real Estate Guys for years has been education for effective action. So you have to take that knowledge that you gain and turn it into experience. And so, you know, thanks for coming clean on that. I think a lot of folks who may be listening may recognize themselves in that. So how did you get past that? Now all of a sudden you find real estate, you get into a deal, it's now real for you. Talk about that momentum.
Man, all of the learning and education that I was putting myself through for the first 5 years, it was dwarfed by doing that first deal because I made mistakes for sure. But here's the end of the story. I made $15,000. Now, that is not life-changing. It's not going to like, oh man, that's going to change my world. I get that. But two things. Number one, I live in Michigan. Number two, it was 2008, right? The house cost $40,000 and I made $15,000.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty sweet deal. And for me, I wasn't poor, but $15,000 of cash in my account in one day was astronomical for me. It was really crazy. But you know, even more than that, it was proof of concept, which I needed on some level. Even if I told myself I didn't, I did. But more practically, my wife needed it. Honestly, she's conservative and she's not a like, hey, let's just push all the chips in the middle of the table and go for it, go for broke, right? She's a normal person. Like she wants a little bit of security and a little assurance. And me doing that kind of proved it to her, right? So it's a lot of people really want to do this business, whatever aspect of the business they want to do. But man, when your spouse is like pulling in the other direction and like doesn't want it to happen, let's just be real. It makes it a lot harder. So for me, having that buy-in from her and then getting the validation that I needed, it was off to the races. And I made mistakes, but there's very few industries where you can make colossal mistakes. And there's certainly no education world where you can make mistakes and not have to pay for them, right? You go to college, you have to pay. I made tons of mistakes and I didn't make as much as I should have, but I made $15,000 and I learned a ton. And it's like, you know, this is a weird analogy, but I always equate it to like, if you have kids, anybody who has kids, and you try to get them to go like on a roller coaster, for example, and they're terrified and they're crying or whatever, I don't want to go. No. You talk them into going and they go down it. What's the first thing they say when they get off? I want to do it again. I want to do it again, right?
Yep.
Because as adults, we forget what it feels like to take that leap of faith and to be a little afraid, but do it anyway. Once I did that first deal, scared as I was, and I was scared, I wanted to do it again so bad. And my wife wanted to do it again. And she's like, what are you doing? Get back out there. Do that again and again. And I was just on a tear. I started making tons of offers. And that's kind of where I took off from there. Tons of mistakes still. And I learned a lot. But yeah, I made offers.
Awesome. So now let's fast forward a little bit. And we'll fill in the gaps as we go.
Sure.
But now you've done this a bunch. So talk us through some of the types of deals that you do, how much volume maybe that you've done, what some of your accomplishments have been in flipping houses.
Sure. And I will tell you, after I got started, I was gung-ho, but I still made tons of mistakes. I had to learn how to run a business, and that's different. You know, you guys talked about at the beginning, like real estate's very active. I mean, flipping, I should say, is very active, and wholesaling is very active, and you're 100% right on that. But what my goal has been over the last half of my time in real estate, which is about, I've been in this about 13 years now. So for the last 6 or 7 years, is trying to figure out how to make it not so active for me and how to create a company instead of just running what I affectionately call a lemonade stand at the end of your driveway. Like that's very active, right? I want people working that lemonade stand. So here's what I've done since then. I started off as a pure house flipper, didn't have rentals, didn't do wholesaling. I was just flipping houses. And I love that model. But one thing I did realize, and people need to be honest with themselves about what they want out of life. You have to know yourself. And what I found out about me was, as much as flipping houses was fun, and I still do it, half of my business is flipping houses, I discovered rental real estate and I discovered wholesaling, which you touched on a little bit too. Wholesaling is really just sales and marketing. You're finding deals and then you're selling that deal to somebody else for a marked up price, right? It's real estate, but it could be anything, right? It's just real estate happens to be the thing that we're buying and selling. But so I find deals. I have a company that does a lot of wholesaling. we do a fair amount of buy and hold stuff, and we do a fair amount of flipping still, but probably 60 to 70% of our company is wholesaling. I got really good at finding deals and finding people who can't find deals like I can, right? So they say during the gold rush, the people who really made money were the people selling the picks and axes. I sell the picks and axes in this industry. But what's really interesting and what I wrote my book about was, how do you take something very active where if I get sick or if I am in the hospital or something happens to me, my company just goes to pieces. How do I create a business that is runs independent of me, but still is able to produce income? So that's really what I've gotten good at over the last handful of years. But to answer your question very directly, over the last 5 years, I've averaged 100 deals a year. That's my volume, about 100. Some years a little better. This year, I'll probably dip below 100 a little bit because of COVID and some adjustments we had to make in our business. But that's sort of what it's been. And then over the last 5 years, starting about 5 or 6 years ago, I slowly started building a team. And I made mistakes there too. You know, as soon as you start hiring, I don't care what the business is, you will eventually have to fire or let people go in some way or fashion. So I got really good at hiring. But what I found out, what's even more important, and people really need to understand this, when you start a business, you get really good at doing that business yourself. You become an operator, right? If you think of the E-myth, right? You become a technician. And I became really good at what I did. And then as I thought, you know what? I don't want to have to get up and grind every single day in my business. I want to look out at the horizon and steer my boat. I don't necessarily want to be rowing every single day. What I realized was it's a totally different thing to run the business and be really good at the components that it takes to make the business go. That's a different skill set than running a company and leading and managing and inspiring and hiring and training people. That is a totally different skill set than getting good. You get really good at what you do in the trenches, and then you step out of that and you're trying to lead people. It's different. And I wasn't a good leader at first. It took me a while to understand there's an art and a skill to leading. People will spend a lot of money and time and effort being really, really learning how to be good at sales or learning how to find a deal or learning how to put a deal together or create the paperwork and have these conversations with sellers and buyers and banks. And they get really, really good at that. And they'll spend time, they'll spend money. And then when they go to build a team or build a company around it, they just think it'll come natural to them. And it doesn't. You have to spend the same amount of time, energy, learning how to lead a company. I wasn't great at it. I really thought if I could do it, I could hire someone, they get to step in my shoes and do exactly what I do. But I'm incentivized differently than the people I hire. It's my company. If the company is a $10 million company, I'm incentivized differently than the person I hired. I can't expect them to do what I do. And the very first person I ever hired, I brought her in. She was great. Actually, looking back in hindsight, I really regret she's not in my company because she was outstanding. She was exceptional. But I gave her everything that I do and just said, here, take it all. And I went to go do building, you know, company building stuff and let her do the work. And she was failing. And I kind of called her out one day and said, listen, you're not getting things done. Things are slipping. What's happening? What are you doing? And she's like, let me tell you something. I wake up in the morning, I eat breakfast, and I start working. And every single night, I fall asleep with my head on the keyboard of my laptop every night. And that's how every day goes for me. And I can't keep up. And I realized I was burying her. She's not me. She's great, but she wasn't what I could do for the company. And it was then that I realized when you bring people in, understand they're not owners. Okay. As much as they may work hard and as good as their intentions are, you need to give them realistic expectations. And my way of training people was, hey, we're on the 1 yard line. You see that goal 100 yards away? Get there. Just get there. And I don't need to know how you do it. Just get there. And that's terrible. Like, that's awful. They don't know what's in my head. They don't have my experience. And I was giving them no playbook. I was just giving them the end goal and saying, go figure it out. Right. So I was a terrible leader. Terrible. I had to learn to be better and give people a little bit more chance to learn and buy in and make them excited to come to work. It's a totally different scenario when you have a company of people that are excited to be there and they're rowing in the same direction. They understand the expectations and they're rewarded and they're compensated in a way that's good for them. And by the way, as a guy at my age, I thought just paying them would make them happy. And if they weren't super happy, give them a bonus and they'll really, really, really take off, right? That's not how everyone's wired. Some people need other things. And I learned that as a leader. So it's been a long journey, but learning to in the automotive industry, you have the engineers. And what happens a lot of times in companies is they'll pluck the most talented engineer out of that department and they'll promote him or her to engineering manager. And then they fail. And they go, well, I don't understand. They were the best engineer in the department. Yeah, They were really good at doing engineering. They weren't good at managing people. And as an owner of the company, you have to be able to make that transformation. Not everyone can do it. That was one of the biggest things that I learned over the last 10 years of owning and then now running a company that is buying and selling properties as we talk, right? It's middle of the day for me. We're buying and selling properties right now as we speak. I'm not doing it. That doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, such a good point. And I think it also speaks to the fact that companies have an evolution. And you've taken us through kind of that evolution of being the one-man band out there flipping houses to, you know, learning the lessons to be a leader and then to set up your team for success. Talk about the beginning, Mike, when it was just you. So someone who hasn't ever flipped a house, do they have to have the skill sets to build and construct and rehab or those things you hire out? Take us through your story there. Were you a hands-on guy or are you more of a, I'm going to find a great team to do it for me guy early on?
I was not a find a great team guy. I'll just tell you that. So I was hands-on to an extent. I know my limitations and I am not a carpenter. I am not a handyman, but I did try to look at the first house I did. I'll take that as an example. The first house I did, I picked out the things of the punch list that I thought I could do. It wasn't wiring, you know, electric and all that kind of stuff. It was painting and doing some basic stuff. And I thought, I'm going to save money by doing these things. And what I find in my direct answer to what you say is, I think the more you know about how to actually do the work in the houses, the worse off you're going to be when it comes to scaling. Now, I always tell folks, if you want to flip one house a year and you don't care how long it takes, by all means, dive in. If it makes you happy, lay the tile.
Grab a paintbrush. Go for it.
Grab a paintbrush, right? I think it's a detriment. What I know and what I've become great at is I know what things should cost and I know how long they should take. Those are the two things you have to know. That will make you a successful house flipper that has the ability to scale. Because if I know how to wire a house and run the plumbing and put up the drywall, I'll be tempted to do it. And early on, you will be tempted because you think you're saving money. But there's something called holding costs that'll kill you if you try to do all the work and you're doing it on the weekends because you have a 9-to-5 and it takes you 3 or 4 months longer than it should. There's holding costs, there's insurance, there's taxes, there's all garbage, you know, remove all these things that are going to eat you up. And you mentioned picking up a paintbrush. That's the one thing I took out of the first flip that I did. My wife and I said, we'll paint the whole house. That's easy. You know, anybody can paint a house. And they can, and we're fine. But you know what we did during that process is we held up all the other trades that were trying to get in and do the electrical and do the plumbing and all these things. We were holding them up because we were still painting, you know, 3 months later. It should have taken a weekend or maybe a week at the longest. It took us 3 months because we were doing it part-time and we were doing a bad job and we had to do 2 coats and all these things. So when you know what to do, it takes a little bit longer. I highly suggest that you hire it out. But the reality is you have to understand on a functional level how things go. So it really behooves you to be at that rehab, especially your first handful. Be there. Watch what's happening. Ask questions. You've hired these guys. They work for you for a while. And as long as you're not totally getting in their way and being obnoxious, ask them questions. Why are you doing this? Why like that? Because what you'll find as a house flipper, when you bring contractors in to quote a job, they will forever try to give you more things that you should be doing. And it's a little bit of an art to understand, and you have to get the experience to understand when they're trying to just add to the cost of the renovation and when they're telling you something legitimate that you really should have considered when you were buying the house. So they can be your friend, but you know, it's like asking a mechanic for your car, like, does my car need anything? Like, they'll find things right that it needs, right? And a contractor is the same way. So you need to educate yourself. You need to get in there and really understand what they're doing on a functional level, and then dial in the cost of it, dial in how long it takes. And that's really what it takes to be a really good flipper, in my opinion.
Our guest today is Mike Simmons. We're talking about flipping property, obviously a bunch of lessons that he's learned, but we're also going to share some shortcuts when we come back. Plus, we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
In uncertain times like this, it's great to know there are two things you can always count on. High demand for affordable single-family homes to live in, and Terry Kerr's amazing Memphis team at Mid-South Home Buyers to find, fix, and manage the next addition to your recession-resistant real estate portfolio. The Memphis market is logistics and distribution dynamo with an economic engine that's essential to moving goods and critical supplies all over the United States. quality rehab, proven profitable property management, affordable rents, and solid ROI make turnkey property investing through Terry's team a dream when it matters most. To learn more about Memphis and Mid-South home buyers, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
If you want to learn how you could potentially increase your net worth by over $1 million and quit your job in just a few short years, listen closely for the next 60 seconds. This is Brad Sumrock, and over the past 16 years, I've helped thousands of people invest profitably in real estate, but not just any type of real estate. I specialize in helping people syndicate large apartment buildings so that they can be business owners and investors. In today's competitive environment, it's even more important than ever to leverage an experienced mentor, invest in your education, and have a team of advisors that has established relationships nationwide. And so many people right now seem to be struggling to find deals and then get them funded, but yet Sumrock students are thriving in today's marketplace. We've purchased nearly 7,000 units and nearly $500 million in purchase volume over the past 12 months. And with the new Trump tax laws, apartment investors are positioned now better than ever before to pay even less in taxes. To find out more, send an email to apartmentsnow@realestateguysradio.com and you'll get my recent presentation called Why Apartments Now. That's apartmentsnow@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Sam Freshman, author of Principles of Real Estate Syndication, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Hey, it's not too late to join us for the 46th annual New Orleans Investment Conference, because this year it's virtual, coming to a computer screen near you. Russ and I are going to be there live in New Orleans, and it's going to be so educational. You're going to learn a ton, meet a lot of great folks, and make some super cool connections. Plus, the annual Real Estate Guys Suite Party online this time. For all the details, just send an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. We're talking about flipping properties for fast cash and big profits. We'll get back to our interview with Mike Simmons after we play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. Just a moment, you're going to hear the question. As soon as you think you know the answer, quickly fire off an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. You'll need to give us your name, the answer to the question, and your physical mailing address. If you're the first one that gets it right, you're going to get a cool new book called Success Habits of Super Achievers. Lots of amazing stories from really cool people, put together by our friend Kyle Wilson. Find out more at GetSuccessHabitsBook.com. A free copy is yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, it was Ask the Guys, and we asked you a super easy real estate trivia question. Here it was. There are 7 continents. Which one is the most populated? Well, the answer is the continent of Asia, with nearly 60% of the world's population, followed by Europe, then Africa. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Which U.S. capital is the highest elevation? Yeah, of all the cities that are capitals of U.S. states, which one sits at the highest physical elevation? If you know or just want to guess, send us your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Give us your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address. The first person that gets it right is going to get this awesome new book, Success Habits of Super Achievers. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking about short-term profits in real estate through flipping, and our guest is Mike Simmons. And Mike, you took us through some really great lessons. So I hope that the listeners got some gold nuggets there. In addition to continuing to build your real estate empire and flip houses and do the wholesaling, you also carve out a chunk of your time to help other people do that. And that's what's exciting to us, is when someone has mastered something and will share. Maybe share with us some of the shortcuts, some of the things you have learned that you wish you knew when you started flipping.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I did really poorly in the beginning, and one of the things that kept me from growing the way that I thought I should grow, is every time I would buy a house to flip, I would go out and I would pick out a paint color, and I would pick out tile, and I would pick out other flooring, and then I would pick out all the lights, all the fixtures, all the finishes. And every time I bought a house, I would start that process from scratch. I had absolutely no process. I had no structure to what I was doing. My wife and I would go, like, we were just bought the house to live in, and go, what colors do we think would look good? What cabinets and what countertops and what floors? And every single time I was reinventing the wheel, I was making every single flip I did a brand new adventure. And that's fine if you're going to do one or if you're going to do two, but if you're going to try to scale that into doing a dozen or more, like, you have to have a process. So coming up with a process was huge for me. The other thing that I really did poorly that held me back, and one thing I've changed over the years that's really accelerated the ability to flip more and do more, was not only building processes and procedures, but I wasn't tracking numbers, and I wasn't understanding what marketing was working for me and what wasn't. And worse, I was really only doing one at a time. So I would try a certain marketing strategy. I wasn't tracking the numbers. I knew things were coming in and things were happening, but I didn't really know what was working. And I was only doing one thing at a time. And I can tell people, one of the worst things you can do in life when you don't know how to proceed is to just do one thing for too long. So when you do one thing, you're kind of hamstrung by that one thing. So if I could give one piece of advice, people ask me all the time, what type of marketing do you do to find deals? What kind of lead generation activity do you do? And I'll tell them, it really depends sometimes on the money you have, the time you have, and what you're trying to accomplish. But like anything else, I think that you need to have more than one line in the water. So if you're a guy who says, I'm going to do direct mail, I think direct mail is my strategy, that's great, right? But what I found in Michigan during the COVID crisis, especially in the beginning, if everyone is remembering what happened with Michigan, we really cracked down. We had a huge spike in the cases. And so there was a genuine fear back in March and April of touching your mail. So in my business, direct mail is our workhorse. It's our bell cow. It's what we rely on for the majority of our deals. Well, it started drying up because people weren't touching their mail. So for us, we did have more than one line in the water. I had learned by that point,
right?
But have more than one strategy for finding leads. If leads are the oxygen of your company, you can't go without oxygen very long. Neither can your company go without leads. So I really suggest direct mail is a great option. Pay-per-click, Google pay-per-click, text blasting, ringless voicemail. There's tons of things you can do. You can drive for dollars, right? It's very inexpensive, but whatever it is, don't be hamstrung by one particular method. That'll definitely help you. The other thing I learned the hard way is contracts. You got to have contracts for things. You can't do business on a handshake, unfortunately. I wish we were in a world that we could, but you can't. So the first deal that I ever did, I told you I made some mistakes. Well, one of the mistakes I made was I didn't have a contract with my general contractor. And so when I paid him for all the subcontractors, guess what? He didn't pay all the subcontractors. He accepted the payment from me, but didn't pay the subs. So when I went to sell the house, there was a mechanics lien on my property.
Whoops.
I didn't even know what that was. So I called up the electrician and said, wait, you put a lien on my property, but I paid for the electric work. And they said, yeah, you probably did. We didn't get it. I'm like, no. I paid the guy. He paid you. And they're like, yeah, he didn't pay us. So I learned really quickly what a release of lien is. A release of lien is basically the paperwork that tells you that the subcontractors got paid. So they don't put that mechanics lien. So by not doing that, by not using paperwork, I had no way of going back to the contractor either. I had nothing in writing. So I learned really early to put things in writing, right? So put things in writing, have a system and a process, have more than one fishing pole in the water to try to find leads. Like, these are some of the things I use to go from doing a deal here and there to doing consistent deals over time, right? So I started off doing a deal. I think I did my first year, I did 2 deals. Second year, I did 4 deals. So I doubled, right? And then I kind of got stagnant at about 4 to 5 deals until I started doing these things. And then by the last 5 or 6 years, I've averaged 100 properties a year. I've been able to create a system that is automated. And by building a team, it's happening when I'm not there.
Well, that's a big theme that we're hearing today, is this idea of building your business kind of level by level, which ties in to the book you mentioned. You just came out with a really cool book called Level Jumping, which isn't just about flipping houses. Tell us about the book.
Yeah, totally. It's called Level Jumping because I hear people talking all the time about taking their business to the next level.
Yep.
For me, I was able to, about 5 or 6 years ago, start putting myself in rooms with people who were doing significantly more business than I was. They had significantly bigger businesses, and they were much better business owners than I was at the time. And by surrounding myself with those people, I was able to use their hindsight as my foresight. Think about that. How powerful. People talk about 20/20 hindsight. Imagine if you can use someone's 20/20 hindsight as your foresight to know what you should be doing, and maybe just as importantly, what you shouldn't do. And when I started surrounding myself with those kinds of people and asking the right questions, what I realized was I was not only able to take my business to the next level, I was able to skip and kind of level jump. If you remember when you're a kid going upstairs, at least me, I would go upstairs two at a time when I was a teenager, right? In my parents' house. I'm able to do that in my company because I'm taking all of that hindsight from other folks who have been there before me and applying that to my business and just taking the same steps. It should be able to be done much quicker than they did it, right? If I tell you how I built a company that profited over $1 million and I tell you all the things I did right and all the things I did wrong, but I had to learn them organically, if I tell you these things, should you not be able to accelerate that process a little bit? And that's exactly what I did. The folks that I sat around, it took them a decade or more to get to where I wanted to be. But I crammed that knowledge into a much smaller time frame. And by the way, I didn't but everything they told me. And if you know what I mean by that, when someone tells you something, you ask your advice and then you go, but in my market, it doesn't work. It's like, no, don't but people whose advice you're seeking. Do what they say and you'll be surprised that it will work out for you most times. So that's exactly what I did. And I joined this mastermind. It's called Seven Figure Flipping. And it did so much for me, so much profound difference in my business. And by the way, it's not a small thing to mention that I also happen to surround myself with good people, like good quality people that care about other people. So much so that I wanted to get involved in a bigger way and help people. Because if I could do for other folks what was done for me, and by the way, you know this, I know it, and people don't talk about it a lot, but there's a lot of bad information. And unfortunately, not great people out there sometimes peddling this bad information. And it kept me sometimes from learning because I was really hesitant to trust people and to know what they were telling me was genuine and they were coming from the right place.
Right.
And I wanted to be involved in a group that cared about the growth of people. And I made it real clear that I don't know what success is for everybody. I know what it is for me. I know what I consider to be success, but not everyone has the same idea of success. So finding out what someone else's idea of success and helping them achieve that, even if it's not what you call success, maybe I want a $10 million business. Maybe that's me. Not everybody wants that. And I found that out through working with people and helping them and understanding their goals are different than mine. And if we can help them get to their goal and real estate is a vehicle that kind of helps them get to that point, man, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And I just want to be part of a solution. I don't want to be part of a problem. And our industry, like every industry, has people that are a problem. And I don't want to contribute to that. And I like being part of a group that, frankly, you can bring your kids to. And you can have them listen because I have kids and I have a daughter who came to me a year and a half ago and said, Dad, I want to get involved in real estate. I don't know exactly what I should do. I think I want to flip houses. I like the idea of taking, you know, a property that's not great shape or kind of ugly and turning it into something great for somebody. I want to do that. You know, right? And she came to me. It's like, you feel like crying. It's like, that's amazing. And I did, I was able to help her and I can bring her around the folks that help me. And I know they're not going to say something that's going to be a little bit question, like, just good people with good values and people, by the way, who have charities that we support and organizations that we help finance because we want to put good into the world. That means as much to me as helping them get to their first deal or build their first, you know, $1 million portfolio.
All right, good stuff. Well, the book is called Level Jumping, How I Grew My Business to Over $1 Million in Profits in 12 Months. Just came out a couple months ago and we're not here to sell the book. In fact, Mike has agreed to give every one of our listeners a digital copy of the book. So before we're done, if you'd like to get a copy of Level Jumping, you can. So thank you, sir, for that. Let's talk about seven-figure flipping because that's really an amazing goal if you think about it, how you and other folks have been able to get to a seven-figure income through flipping and wholesaling houses. And your group once a year does a live event. And this year, like many of us, you've got the COVID reality of being able to do the event virtually. But that actually is a really good thing because it means it's not too late for folks to get signed up. Tell us about the live event and what happens there at your annual live gig.
Yeah, thank you for that. It's called Flip Hacking Live. And you're right, it's normally in person, that's a lot of fun, but this year it's virtual. There's some cool things you can do virtually that you can't do in person. And we're gonna make this super interactive. And what it really is this is a coaching, it's a mastermind. And the mastermind is a paid mastermind and you have to pay money to be a part of it. And it's closed doors throughout most of the year. We sit around a bunch of folks who are making seven figures and more in their business. And we exchange ideas, we talk about what's working. We really talk about what's making our companies go and how we're doing it. But once a year, we open that up to the the public. And we get on stage and we put folks on stage, by the way, who are not professional speakers. So in all fairness to them, they're not necessarily the most polished. But what I love about that is they're just investors who run great companies. And they're really good at certain parts of the industry, a part of what they do. And we put them on stage and ask them one thing and one thing only. They have nothing to sell, by the way. There will be nobody who's going on stage, who's presenting, who's going to have a, something that they're going to try to sell you. The only thing we ask of them is that you don't hold back. You give them everything. And they do that. And they do it in a real genuine way because they're not a trained speakers. They sometimes are a little unpolished. But what they do is give away everything in their company that's working with examples, with slides. They give away the tools that they're using and everything that's happening in their company. So we talk about everything from raising money to hiring contractors to marketing, like every aspect of a flipping and a wholesaling company that you could possibly want. We're going to talk about how to do that, how to implement it in your business. And if you do nothing, and it's a three-day event, it's October 15th, 16th, and 17th. If you just go to this event, I promise you, you can reach out to me directly if this doesn't happen. You will get so much more value out of that than the than what it costs, which is very, very low. But you'll get so much more value out of that. And you will be able to take what you learn in those 3 days and apply it immediately to your company, to the benefit of your company. I've seen companies go from being a concept, like people meeting at the event, to forming a partnership and building a company in the next year being on stage talking about their success. Like it truly does change lives. It changed mine. I've been to every single one of them. This will be the fifth one. And I have yet to go to one where I don't completely fill up a notebook with notes. Like it's absolutely amazing. And you talked about it at the beginning of the show. There's something coming. There's going to be a change in the market, right? And you can flip in any market, in a market going up and a market going down. Doesn't matter. But what matters is that you know where you are in that market and that you surround yourself ideally with folks who have seen ups and downs and find out what are they doing to prepare, right? Guys like you, what are you doing to prepare? What am I doing to prepare? If you want to know what we're doing as house flippers and wholesalers to prepare for this market and to really capitalize on it in a positive way, come to the event. Specifically, what we're going to talk about is how to take your business to the next level, even in the market that's about to hit.
The event's called Flip Hacking Live. It happens right around the corner, October 15th through 17th. And if you're already flipping and you want to get to that next level, you're going to dig this, but it's also suitable for folks that have never flipped the house before. So don't feel like it's over your head. In fact, I think this could be a really good time to consider flipping as part of everything else you do. And if you decide to build a business, obviously Mike's got a lot of great resources. If you'd like to get all the details, easiest thing to do is just send an email to flipping@realestateguysradio.com, flipping@realestateguysradio.com. You'll get a link to sign up to the event, but you'll also get Mike's new book. That's going to be yours. Level Jumping, you can get a copy of that, a digital version. And Mike, we really appreciate that. And thanks so much for sharing your inspiration and your story today with us.
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
There's Mike Simmons from Seven Figure Flipping. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Don't be like Charlie, who scans the internet for IRA information, often getting bad information from copycats who have no idea what they're doing. You deserve to work with a reputable firm that specializes in one thing, the EQRP. Lucky for you, Congress just made it possible for you to get up to $200,000 out of your current 401k or TSP, so you can invest that money in real estate or even your own business. Even if you're still working, it's possible to get access to all this money tax-free. Whether you're a full-time investor, a doctor, or a government employee, even if you have employees, the EQRP is your secret weapon. You'll never see this strategy in Money Magazine, only here with the Real Estate Guys. Every major accounting firm in America is quietly sharing this strategy with their wealthy clients, helping them get their funds freed from 401k jail. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we have your solution. With the CARES Act expiring soon, this strategy will be gone forever. The EQRP company is ready to help you unleash your retirement funds now. Want to learn more about this strategy? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com for my special EQRP report today.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2021 Goals Retreat, January 8th to 10th in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. This unique weekend event has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the thousands of people that have attended. Hear from some of them and find out more at realestateguysradio.com under events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the live in-person 2021 Goals Retreat on the second weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18 today.
Hi, this is Dennis Waitley, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Now in our 23rd year of broadcasting, and coming up, it's the 19th annual Investor Summit, the event we do every year. You can get the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. It's going to be extraordinary. Well, my goodness, we'd learned a ton, and I sure got some inspiration. I don't know about you, Russ, from Mike Simmons. That was great.
Yeah, no, it's so funny because, you know, you think of house flipping as being just an activity, a one-man band type thing, like things you see on TV. And yet, probably some of the most successful house flippers we know are really, really sharp business people. And they've built systems and processes and machinery, and they have metrics, and they stay focused on being the visionary, and they have other people doing the tactical work and making that transition. You know, Robert Kiyosaki talks in Cashflow Quadrant about the E and the S, the self-employed person, and then trying to get over to the right side of the quadrant, the B, the business owner, and the I, the investor. And the hardest transition is to go from being an S, a self-employed person, to a B, a business owner, because you have to let go. You have to get things done through other people, but you can't abdicate. You have to really become good at delegating, leadership, communication, understanding they don't have the same motivations you do, and he talked about that. So I actually am surprised, but as he was talking, I probably wrote a half a page, maybe a full page of notes here, and I really wasn't expecting that. I mean, I did the one flip in my life, and I'm that guy that used it as a learning experience. So I got that part right, and then I hired guys, and I told them when I hired them, hey, you're going to do the work, but I'm here to learn. And they would let me help, and I learned how to do all kinds of things that was really interesting. But I also got in the way. I slowed things down, and my flip took over 6 months, and it went over budget by 300%. So, you know, I mean, the market saved me. I was in a great market, and it all worked out. But when he was telling that story, I'm like, oh, that was so me.
Well, also, I think just there's hope in that story. Mike was candid enough to say, I wasn't a great leader at first. I didn't delegate well. That's what happens in life. And so the great news is these are learnable skills. So at the very least, you're going to want to pick up Level Jumping. You can go buy it on Amazon, or you can get it for free by sending an email to flipping@realestateguysradio.com. I'm anxious to read it. And then if flipping sounds like something that's really interesting to you, then only once a year do they do this event. It's called Flip Hacking Live, and it's coming up October 15th, 16th, and 17th. Again, you get the details if you send that email to flipping@realestateguysradio.com. To me, you know, it's another way to make money in real estate, and to hear Mike's passion and enthusiasm, especially after kind of, you know, floundering around a little bit, trying to find what's going to make sense to get your retirement set up, to be able to invest, and then not liking, you know, the stock market, and then finding real estate, and just that whole story. That's really a lot of what it is as an investor. You've got to discover your inner investor, what we call your personal investment philosophy. But when times change, and we're going to see change in the next couple of years, this is an area where there's ability to make money short term if you're just finding a property and wholesaling it, or if you stay in for the whole ride. Last time around, we talked about in 2008 and 9 and 10, these kinds of folks were healing America one house at a time. I think we may see that again.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, he really addressed the mental side of entrepreneurship and investing, and I thought that was huge. You know, I mean, I don't need to tell you, Robert, 18 years in real estate brokerage, but there's a concept in real estate, every real estate salesperson knows: ready, willing, and able. And, you know, he talked about how he got to where he was ready. I mean, he was frustrated. He could see the writing on the wall. I think there's a lot of people out there in the world right now that are looking at the career path they thought they were on, and they're realizing, hey, I need to learn a new gig. I need to have a side hustle. I mean, this, I got to find a way. So that's the ready part. But the willing part, the mental part, the willingness to step into your fear, to put yourself in an environment where you're going to be pulled up. There was a whole lot of humility coming from Mike as he was telling his story. And I think that's where it starts, right? You have to explore your weaknesses, not with judgment, but curiosity, and learn to say, okay, how good could I be? And how much could I learn? And what could I accomplish? And it kind of mitigates some of that fear. And of course, being able is about knowledge. It's about knowing what the heck you're doing. And you know, there's a couple ways to learn. You can lock yourself in a room and watch YouTube videos and read books, or you could interact with people in kind of a more mentor apprenticeship thing. If you can get around people that are actively doing the thing you want to be great at, you pick up a lot more than just the technical nuts and bolts, the blocking and tackling, but you pick up the mentality of the way they think, the way they approach adversity, the way they had managed their emotions or investor emotions, the greed, the fear, how they respond to problems when they come, how they mitigate their propensity to chase the shiny object and stay focused and get the thing over the line. I mean, there's a lot of mental things that go on in any business. And it was really gratifying to hear him put so much emphasis on that part of the business, because that's really where the rubber meets the road.
The other thing having a mentor or going through a program does is it just saves your most precious asset, which is your time. You can bumble around and figure it out in free podcasts and reading books and going to the library and going to YouTube. But, you know, if you can just get focused, concentrated time from folks that have been there and done that and are willing to share, what a tremendous time saver that is. And collapsing time frames is our favorite thing to do. So great to have Mike on the program. Big thanks for sharing his ideas, information, and the just humility of his story. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of his book and learn about the event they've got coming up, just send an email to flipping@realestateguysradio.com. We're going to have a great show next week. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.